Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There is no better room of plants for flower power than forms of the shrubby potentilla.
Hello and welcome to This Week in the Garden. I'm Peter Seabrook, here to help with some of your gardening quandaries. Later on, we'll be discussing something we haven't discussed on this podcast before. Heathers. Heather plants will be coming into stock in your garden centres soon. They look magnificent. And David Edge from Forest Edge Nurseries down in Dorset, an expert on the subject, will be with us shortly. My thanks to Sutton Seeds of Torquay, sponsors of this week's podcast. It's allotment week this week, and speaking to the people who are on my local allotments, I understand that blight has already arrived on both potatoes and tomatoes, so do keep an eye out if you're growing either of those crops. It's not surprising, I suppose. High temperatures and lots of moisture, and I'm afraid potato blight does spread quite a bit. But they're also saying enormous yields. They can't give runner beans away, apparently. There are so many of them. But there's been a lot going on this week. I've been to the seed trial grounds of Mr. Fothergill, who has a new seed treatment called OptiGrow, which means that your carrots and parsnips will germinate much quicker and more easily next spring. They've bought the hand tools company Darlac, so we're going to see some changes there. And I popped in too to see Peter Beale's roses up at Attleborough. They've got a really nice rose garden there, over 2 acres. And so if you're looking for a bit of a day out, then that's well worth popping in there. It's over 2 acres, and one biggish section of it is a wildlife garden. And so if you've got some children on board, they'll have a whale of a time running about, looking in the wildlife pond and seeing all the other things that are at Attleborough. I've recently been to Cable Manor College to see a potato trial. 34 different cultivars, and we could have a taste of 6 of them. And then I went down to Wisley to join the party of people that were judging the Zinnia trial. Goodness, there's a lot going on at Wisley. Last week I mentioned Hyde Hall and the money they were spending. There's no let up in the money being spent at Wisley either. There's a new barn building been put up for volunteers and staff over by the delivery end. And then, of course, the whole of the main entrance is going to be completely redesigned and rebuilt, and the builders are underway with that. Wisley is a great place to pop in, and particularly the Zinnia trial. There's over 100 of them, very nice colours some, and tremendous variation. It is worth having a look. On a sad note, if I could just report 2 deaths... 2 photographers, Ed Gabriel from Ipswich, that I worked with a lot over the years. Really charming man, sadly has died. And also a younger man, Marcus Harper. He was a very talented, lovely person to be with. At least they leave us some really fantastic pictures. You know, when I go into the garden and see a flower opening, then it's left to my memory. But those two could, of course, capture in 2 dimensions all that charm and beauty. I will remember them kindly as I walk around my garden looking at beautiful things. But we need to get on, you know, gardening doesn't stop. And really, if you could lay hands on some autumn onion sets, they're well worth planting over the next 2 months. I hope we'll get some of the schools planting them because they seem to be pretty well foolproof. They're big enough for small fingers to just push gently into the soil. They make a bit of leaf before the winter sets in, and then they're ready to harvest in June, well, in May even. And if you put 3 or 4 in a 20-litre pot, you'll have some really good onions to harvest early next summer. And don't forget this year's crops, runner beans. It may have rained a lot, but with all that foliage, they tend to cast the moisture. So do check the roots and give them a really good watering, particularly if the beans aren't coming fast and fat. And my sprouts, goodness, they are very leafy, and I need to put a stake to each one of them. I grow quite a few dahlias, and I think it's worth just disbudding them a bit to get the flowers up on longer stems. They sort of stand clean and proud, and the flowers are bigger. And of course, if you want to cut them, you've got that longer stem. Keep a watch out for earwigs. They're beggars. They don't half nip the petals off dahlias. And if you put a flower pot, a 5.5 inch, a 13 centimetre flower pot, stuffed full of straw or dry grass or even crumpled up paper, upside down on a cane, in amongst the dahlias, you'll find the earwigs go in there in the daytime. And you just carefully lift the pot off the cane and take it away and give it a tap. What I like to do is to give them a knock over the fruit trees, because earwigs not only eat the petals of dahlias, they also eat greenfly. So it's better to put them somewhere where they can be useful.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Earlier this year, I was walking through the flower pavilion at Hampton Court Palace Flower Show and bumped into the most charming exhibit of heathers. Now, you might say, what's special about that? Well, it really takes quite a bit of skill to have heathers looking really good in June and July. I mean, they really can provide colour all year round. And the master behind this exhibit was David Edge from Dorset. Good afternoon, David. Good of you to join us.
Lovely. Thank you very much, Peter. Good afternoon to have a chat with you as well.
Yeah. I mean, that was a really lovely little exhibit. What tempted you out? Because you don't usually sort of trade with the public, do you?
We don't normally, and we haven't done so for a number of years. Not that we've excluded the public, but we've gone more in the direction of selling direct to nurseries and garden centres. And that was the aim from the early years, really.
Looking at your website, I mean, it looks as if you were made to be a heather grower. You were actually apprenticed to the nursery trade at the beginning, is that correct?
Yeah, yes. At age 19, I worked for a nursery in Dorset. It was Stewart's Nurseries, an old established firm there, and they very kindly put me through an apprenticeship, and one of the tasks there was the propagation of trees and shrubs, and that included heathers, and that's really where an interest grew from in those days.
So the bug really bit you. But it must have been, you know, quite a challenge to actually start up on your own.
Well, I was quite fortunate in, say, developing an interest in the heathers at the time that they were just becoming popular. And my parents had moved down from Wiltshire down to Dorset, and they bought a property with a third of an acre of a garden, and part of that was wild heather, which... Well, I started growing heathers as a hobby, and I think we got actually up to about 2,000 to 3,000 in my parents' garden. And I did a little bit of part-time work for other nurseries and garden centres, and they were interested in the heathers, and they bought some, and it went from there.
And when I look on your website and see that fantastic show of colour, I mean, heathers, they're unbeatable, aren't they, for year-round colour?
They're so universal. I mean, you can go from a plant that only grows to 2 or 3 centimetres high up to different types that will grow to, you know, 3-4 metres, and providing colour right through the whole year, really. There's a couple of months where a little bit lean, like in May and November, December, but even then you've got foliage colour and the different habits and different shades of green and bronze that provide interest right through.
Now, do people need to be frightened about them? If you read any article about heathers, they'll immediately start talking about acid soil and how demanding they are. I garden on heavy clay, have had them since the exciting days of the 70s, and I find them quite easy to grow.
Oh, yeah, yes. I mean, most people can grow the kind of winter or spring flowering varieties on, and they're a much more tolerant and robust kind of family of heathers. But there's nothing like, you know, uttering the word ericaceous and acid soil to people to frighten them off. But as you say, heathers are not a plant to be frightened of. I mean, the general rule, although there are exceptions, is that the summer flowering ones require an acid soil, and the winter spring flowering ones will grow on most soil types. If you just bear that in mind, then essentially that's a good rule to go by.
I used to work a long time ago for a nursery up in Norfolk, and they used to go to the Thetford Forest by arrangement to collect the pine needle peat or leaf mould or whatever you'd call it. Boy, that was lovely stuff for rhododendrons, azaleas and heathers. So if somebody has a bit of fall from a pine, this is one occasion when it is quite useful, isn't it?
Oh, yes, and you can get quite a lot of debris from pine trees over a season. And if you've trained the grey squirrels correctly too, they'll sit up in the pine tree and they'll chew the cones and break them all up down and let them fall down to the ground in nice little pieces for you.
At last, they're used for grey squirrels.
Oh, yes, there is some.
I seem to remember in a Northern Ireland garden, they had hedges made of winter flowering heathers, but quite low as a sort of alternative to box. Is that a sensible thing to do?
Oh, yes, yes. They're quite tolerant of trimming, actually. They are a plant that needs to be kept trimmed regularly. Certainly you can't leave it for 3, 4, 5 years and then give it a good hard trim back into brown wood, because it won't usually re-sprout. On an annual trim where you've got lots of young shoots, then that will form a very good hedge. And we've trimmed them into conical shapes and, you know, up to a height of getting on for about a metre and a half at the moment. One of my experiments was to see whether you could grow them on a short leg, and some of the Aerogena family will take quite well to that. So kind of topiary is not out of the question with heathers at all.
Well, if I could take a bit further on the sort of hedge thing, I mean, we have problems with box, so why not look for alternatives? And if we do use ericas, then we've got winter flower too, haven't we?
Oh, yes, that's right. The erica crossdaliensis group, of which, you know, you've got Kramer's Red and other flower colours through from pinks and whites and purples and gold foliages as well, lend themselves very well to that, and of course they're tolerant again on those soil types and very hardy.
And so if I was to choose one or two for hedging, would Kramer's Red be one of them?
Kramer's Red would certainly be very suitable, and there are a couple of other varieties. I mean, you've got White Perfection, which is a lovely white flower on light green foliage. Spring Surprise, which is a later flower going more towards the shades of purple. But all of the Erica dahliensis family are very suitable for that. And they've got a little bit more vigour and height in them than some of the other varieties.
And when will we prune? I mean, could we prune and shape the hedge at a time when we still had flower? Or if we trim repeatedly, presumably we'll reduce the flowering?
Yeah, the general rule for heathers is after they finish flowering, then give them a trim. And the dahliensis group that we're talking about, they'll finish flowering towards the end of April, beginning of May. So a trim by the end of May would be ideal, because they'll start putting the flower buds on again in June and July. So So, yeah, a trim in May, and you might need just another light trim towards the autumn, but taking care not to remove the flower buds.
You know, I think I might have a go at that. I still have the small bed outside our back door that I planted. Must have been about 1975, I suppose. And I really now need to strip it out. You can imagine how woody and miserable some bits of it are looking. But underneath I've got some hardy cyclamen snowdrops, and I've got to sort of bite the bullet and dig the whole lot up. Do you think it would be a sensible thing to just edge that with a little heather hedge?
It makes nice edging to it, certainly. And you would have a edging or a hedge there that would grow to 30 to 45 centimetres. You could quite happily keep it at that, and with a similar width of about 30 centimetres. And you can get some nice electric trimmers, battery-operated trimmers, and they do the job wonderfully.
I don't think I'm going to be drawn to your lawn. Now, tell us a bit about that lovely little heather lawn that we saw at Hampton Court.
Well, this was part of the concept of looking at different uses of heathers and wandering over the heathland. Indeed, we were there yesterday and looking on the heathland and walking over there. You've got the Kaluna there, which is quite tightly grazed, and it's only about 15, 20 centimetres in height and flowering well. And I thought, well, I wonder if you could translate that habit into a cultivated concept. And trying it with the winter flowering, again, the Erica Daliensis group, which is suitable for most soil types, which is one of the advantages of selecting that variety. And with its upright habit and more robust growth on it, then it proved very suitable for doing it. Probably not a concept for everyday wear, but certainly it could be done on an area. If you were going to walk on slabs, then you could do it so the path was edged or the slabs slightly surrounded by the trimmed heather. Naturally seen on sheep grazed moorland. No reason why it couldn't be done in a garden.
No, take a tip from nature. I wonder, David, could I just take you through one or two of your novelties? The one which really caught my eye was Erica Carnea Saskia. That's named after your granddaughter?
That's right, yes.
So presumably you think a lot of that then?
It was an interesting colour break. Most of the winter flowering heathers, the colour ranges from white through to pale pink and deeper pinks, purples, and almost to reds. But Saskia had this bright crimson colour, and it was a seedling that we've occurred in one of our pots and replanted it out, and it's been trialled for nearly 5 years on the nursery here before we decided, yes, it was a variety worth growing. And having a granddaughter, and it was a natural connection between Saskia and, say, the kind of bright, very bright pink, almost to salmon colour, which is a colour break in that family.
I hope she'll be charmed by that. And what about Aztec Gold? That's another one of yours, isn't it?
Yes, this was a variety, again, from my early days, and again, another seedling, being a... I've put it in brackets or inverted commas, heather enthusiast. If I see a seedling on the nursery, I like to keep it and see how it performs. And Aztec Gold had that same interest, that it was a golden seedling that came up with plenty of vigour, and perhaps more vigour than a lot of other varieties, golden foliage Erica Carnea varieties. And it had this lovely, again, kind of light pink flower, which deepens to purple, with the foliage again turning more orange and red the colder the weather gets. And that's one of the attributes that heathers have. So some of the golden foliage heathers, they'll change colour depending how the weather goes. The colder it is, the more orange and red they go.
And then, to sort of sum up a bit, David, if the average person, not knowing very much about heathers, had a metre or two in a small suburban garden to plant, what would you recommend? I mean, three or four varieties?
Yes. I mean, we normally say putting in about 5-6 plants per square metre, and you can either plant in groups or blocks of colour, or you can get a very natural effect by mixing the varieties up completely together, ad lib as such.
more than one variety in pots in some cases, don't you?
Oh, yes, that's right. That's right. There's, say, talking to a kind of Canadian grower, they do a lot of what they call tricolours, where they'll put two or three plants into one pot, and that's done quite a lot now with imports from Germany and Holland. And they're very suitable for pots and tubs.
We haven't mentioned pots and tubs.
No, that's right. Certainly for winter flowering, colour in containers, they've developed quite an interest there now. And after the bedding plants have gone over, then planting in a container with could be with pansies, some bulbs, and polyanthus or primroses, it makes all for a good combination.
And then, David, you supply nurseries, garden centres, other retailers. So if we're out and about, how would we recognise a David Edge plant?
All of our plants are round, what we call 1 litre size pots, all have a logo on it, which has got a honeybee logo on it. And our smaller plants all have our printing on the side of the pot, and a label also with the honeybee logo, because say we like to promote the combination of heathers and the wildlife, especially bees.
Well, I can certainly vouch for that. I mean, we had a hedgehog nest under our small heather bed within, 20 feet of the back door. So they're certainly great for wildlife. David, thank you very much for joining us today. You're an absolute mine of information. I really welcome speaking to you.
Thank you very much. And perhaps I can just mention that if anyone wants further advice and information, there's a Heather Society website, which is full of useful facts and figures there.
What's on? Well, it's Southport Flower Show today and tomorrow. I hope the weather's kind up there. You know, if the sun shines at the seaside, makes everything, doesn't it? Keep a watch out for Steve and Val. They're up there, I think, doing a tour, seeing all that's happening, and hopefully I'll have a report from them next week on what they thought of the show. Have a good time gardening. It's a joy to be out there. Thanks again to our sponsors, Sutton Seeds of Torquay, and thanks to you for listening. We'll be back next Thursday. Discover more at sungardening.co.uk.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.